It's one of those words in the English language that has grown to have two meanings, and there is the bad hacking. There's the hackers that gain access to your bank account or steal your bank account number or break into systems and do nefarious things. But hacking is also, there's another meaning for the word, which is sort of like use it as a description for a clever or temporary solution to a problem. So if I was to say to my friends that I had hacked something, they wouldn't automatically assume that meant that I'd broken in and done something illegal.
Right.
They'd assume that I'd fixed it, but possibly the fix wasn't that elegant, or it was kind of clever but not a permanent fix. It's sort of like, so a hack is more like a
bodge job.
Yeah, not a bodge job. Sometimes they turn out to be better than what you would have expected, but yeah, they're generally it's sort of like a clever and temporary fix to a problem is generally the
okay. So meaning. And we're talking about getting into the code.
Possibly the code, but also stuff that you just not think of. So even hardware-based hacks, like hacking hardware to do things that was never designed to do, or joining two things together that were never really made to go together, and that sort of thing. It's sort of like, I guess it's, you can use it as also a way of repurposing something that you've bought. So, you know, so for the hacker space that I want to talk to, a lot of the time you're voiding warranties. That's out of all the illegal things you could possibly do, I'm pretty sure that's not illegal technically, but you might have to open the box to get inside it, which of course is going to void a warranty.
So when we're talking about the sort of like that sort of thing, a lot of the game machines when they came out, I'm thinking of the Xbox, for example. I remember when it first hit the market, people were opening up, and I think the word being used then was cracking it or something like that.
Yeah, they're trying to defeat the DRM.
And they would turn this game machine into a small home PC.
Exactly, yeah, installing other software that was never designed to run.
So that would be a hack.
Yep, definitely.
In
a
those
hack.
Terms. Yep. So they've still got it as an Xbox game machine, but it's also a PC.
And now it also plays movies
So all that sort of stuff. So they've actually doubled its usefulness.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And Microsoft or whomever sold it to you didn't want you to do that, so you had to avoid a warranty, you had to install some software, you possibly had to solder on some extra pins to get access to a data line on the on the motherboard, but yeah, you basically...
So you adjust the machine to make it suit yourself.
Exactly. Like, I mean, for myself, I've hacked my garage door, so I can now open my garage door from my smartphone.
Really?
I can open it and close it. I can detect if it's open or closed from remotely. And then that's opened up a whole bunch of extra things I can do now. So my phone obviously knows where I am because it's got GPS. So it knows when I'm coming home. So as I drive up the driveway, the garage door opens. I don't have to do anything. It knows I'm in the driveway because I've got my smartphone with me and it has GPS. And so the door just opens when I get home.
Did you lose the infrared button?
No, that's what I hacked. I actually used the infrared button that's now inside the garage, hooked up to a bit of electronics, and it's being basically pushed by the electronics, inside the garage, yeah.
How much other electronics is now behind your garage door?
Well, there's
because
an entire...
Because I'm wondering about effort for reward when it comes to this.
For that one, it was quite small. It's just a little device called a Spark Core, which is like a little... Have you heard of Arduinos? Yeah, so it's a little Arduino, which is sort of like a digital I.O., really repurposable, programmable digital board.
Yeah.
It costs about $30, very cheap little things. And it has built-in Wi-Fi. So basically, it's basically the gateway between the internet on the Wi-Fi side and then the garage door on the digital I.O. side where it controls the buttons. And so actual effort was pretty small. But then there's a fair amount of programming involved to get things like, you know, I have to program my smartphone with an app to say, you know, when it detects I'm in the driveway, send the signal to open the door. And it also does things like if I leave the door open, it will send me a SMS to say you've left the garage door open.
Do you want a closed door? You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
because sometimes you leave the garage door open because you're doing something, you know, maybe mowing the lawn or something, so you don't want to close it. So in those cases, you can ignore it. But if you've left home and forgotten to close it, you probably do want the reminder and you probably do want the option to close it.
How extraordinary. So if you're at the airport about to get on a flight somewhere and you get the SMS that says garage door's open, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, left the stove on and you have
to
go home.
Yeah,
same
thing. Yeah.
On your phone now, you just go, close it.
Damn, forgot. Close that.
Right. How extraordinary. What made you think of doing that? Was it just a thing of wanting to see whether you could?
Yeah, mostly it is. Yeah, it's just a matter of like, it just seemed like it was a nice project. And you know, I saw the Spark Core and I was like, well, I want to buy one and play with one. And what would be, you know, invariably you need a project to
get
have a reason to buy it. Otherwise, it would sit there collecting dust and you'll be like, oh, well, maybe one day I'll get to that. But if you have a project in mind, you just get straight onto it and just do it.
We're talking with Scott Weston, who's a Haddon resident, former NBN proponent as well, and works in that the IT, the back end of the IT industry. And we're talking about hacking now. BHack. You mentioned BHack. What is BHack?
BHack. Yes, that's it's a community group that we're forming, mm-hmm. And it's the long name is Ballarat Hackerspace.
Right.
And so a hackerspace is sort of like a space. I guess, I mean, the way I describe it generally is to say it's like a more technological version of a men's shed.
I was going to say men's shed for nerds.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah. That's.
And I mean nerds in the nicest
way. Yeah. Or geeks if you want to be a bit more. Yeah.
Is that more politically correct
to
say geeks? Geek?
Yes. Yeah. Because you can have geeks of lots of different flavors. But nerds generally is IT. Whereas you can have music geeks and you can have art geeks and geeks, coffee geeks.
I was just
geeks.
Thinking of George Fong's email signature, which is Nerd Herder.
Nerd Herder, yes, exactly. Yeah, yes. Yeah, so it's more IT. Nerd is generally more very IT focused.
Okay. Yeah. So this is broader.
Yes,
than
we hope.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. So it's only just starting. The group started. We only started a few months ago. And this Thursday is one of the milestones is that we're incorporating, having a public meeting at the space we have in Sebastopol, the temporary space. And we're going to get incorporated, the big push is to then find a permanent space like a men's shed. And I imagine lots of men's sheds sort of start off in someone's garage, and the group slowly builds. It's a very similar sort of growth pattern. You know, we've started off in a temporary space, and we meet every fortnight. And now we've got to the point where we realise we can get a real space, and we can then start buying some real tools and setting up the space.
So what sort of stuff goes on at BHack or the Ballarat Hackerspace? What sort of things are happening?
So at the moment, it's like, for instance, the garage door project, that would be something that I would bring along and show to people and talk about, and people would feed in their ideas. Wouldn't it be nice if it could do this or and those sorts of that kind of feedback. So it's sort of a group where you can collaborate with other like-minded geeks in that kind of space and sort of have that blue sky kind of thinking, where you kind of think, well, what if we could do this or what if we could do that. I guess one of the more famous things that came out of hackerspace is in a New York hackerspace is where the 3D printing sort of kicked off, and the MakerBot sort of grew out of one of the New York hackerspaces, where someone just had the idea of, wouldn't it be cool if you could get a plotter that deposited plastic and then slowly over time built layer on layer and turned it into a 3D object. And that sort of started the whole 3D printing movement.
So hackerspaces are quite common throughout the world.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's hackerspaces in Melbourne even. East Gippsland has a really cool makerspace, they call it, but very similar. That's sort of our ideal goal. They've got an extremely impressive makerspace there, which includes all sorts of hackerspaces plus art spaces. So they've got painting and clay, the pottery, metalwork, woodwork. So it's almost like a men's shed double plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of everything involved.
So 3D printing came from one of these spaces.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
just tossing ideas around wouldn't it be
so
cool?
Yeah, these hacker spaces are sort of like they're like an incubator, I guess, for ideas, and people try them and hopefully every now and then a good idea comes out and turns into a business or a movement of its own, sort of like the 3D printing.
How are they funded?
Generally the non-profit and generally just funded by the members. So it's sort of, most of them will run in a way that, so the space runs and offers a service. So like the men's shed, there will be tools. So we would have a 3D printer, because that's obviously now the norm for a hackerspace, but also things like a laser cutter or a CNC machine, PCB mills, soldering stations, those sorts of tools that you would really love to have if you're a geek.
Yeah.
But you generally either don't have the space or you really can't afford to run them, or...
It's not worth having as a one-off
exactly,
type thing.
Exactly, you might only use it so infrequently that it's not worth the money to buy just for yourself. So the hackerspace would have those tools. You would pay a membership fee, monthly membership fee, that would give you 24/7 access to the space. Then you can just come in and use those tools for your projects.
Extraordinary. Do you have a sense of what they have done in other communities in terms of that intellectual capital that comes with this sort of... talk? And I mean, you hear a lot of it coming out of things like men's sheds, and I know we're using them as an example, where there's that not shared knowledge that sort of then tends to spread out and there's a bit more idea. Same sort of thing, but this can actually work on real cutting edge
exactly.
technology.
So generally the kinds of people that are attracted to a hackerspace, there will be the software developers who have a lot of software experience but not necessarily much hardware experience. There will be electronics people who know a lot about electronics. But
they know how to build the physical bits and pieces.
But they don't really know how to program it and how to get it. So getting all those skills together in the one space where we can all talk together and, you know, hand off skills and cross-train and that sort of thing. So there'll be, for instance, for the, you know, for a laser cutter, there might be someone who knows how to run the laser cutter and someone who's always wanted to know as well. They can, you know, the one guy who knows can train the other people and run training courses and workshops and train the rest of the hackerspace community how to use those tools.
Can I ask, Scott, what's the gender makeup of BHAC?
At the moment, it's quite heavily male orientated, but that's because at the moment it's mostly IT geeks involved. But we do have on the community group, we have a Google Plus community group, and we do have a few female members at the moment.
But it's not; it shouldn't be seen like a men's share.
No, exactly. And
this
that's
is
why
an
we,
open space yeah, for we want anyone to, who's exactly, into this
yeah,
stuff.
Very, yeah, completely diverse and open, and no restrictions whatsoever. So I guess that's one of the reasons why we had the option to go down the men's shed, because they have a lot of support behind them to get, like, for insurance and for organizing sponsorship and all that sort of stuff. And it's quite well done. They've got a lot behind them to get them up and running, because it's a big movement. You know, there's lots of men's shed. So we looked at them, but we did feel that we didn't want to narrow ourselves to that field. We wanted to be very inclusive and very open in that regard. So we're doing a lot of this on our own, which is a bit more work, but we think it's worth it.
Learning curve as well. I'll get details for people who want to find out more to join and all that sort of stuff in a second. But on our SMS, Stephen Scott, Go Linux for Alan in Barongarog. VoIP Cheap sends SMS and their costs are small. Apparently you buy credit, you send SMS messages and they can be identified with your own mobile number. That's from Robert in the Grampians. Robert, thank you. So it goes out with your mobile number attached to it, even though it's voice over internet. Now, if people want to get involved in BHAC, if they're listening anywhere, I know Gippsland people, as you said, they've got their own really good example, but anywhere in that Western District thing, if they're prepared to commit the time, they can be involved from the sound of it.
Definitely.
How do they get in touch?
So we have a website, bhac.in, Indigo November. Mm-hmm. That's the main website that has a video on where the movement came from. So there was a TED talk done on hackerspaces, and so we have that link there. And it also gives info about our meetings and our blog, which has a post there for our incorporation. So that's happening on Thursday, so it has the address for that. And, of course, that's a public meeting. Anybody can come. And as we're not doing any hacker-type stuff there, it's a meeting. So we're there to talk and chat. So if someone wants to know more information, they should definitely come to the incorporation meeting. Mm. We're there to definitely talk about what our visions are for the future, because, you know, we want to get really involved in the community and give some stuff back to the community. So 3D printing, for example, we'd love to build 3D printers and then donate them to schools and get the schools
so they can
get them in the kids' hands who can then, because that's, you know, they'll do amazing things with that sort of technology.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you think, I mean, I think about this stuff and go, wow, this is really the future, but it's actually here already.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding the person, whether it's with the money or the commitment, such as yourselves, to actually go ahead and get it out there now. Because by the time kids, even in high school now, leaving school and doing their degree, it's going to be everywhere, the speed this stuff develops these days.
Yeah.
Now, we've got 3 minutes before the news. I wanted to ask you about GovHack as well.
Yes,
GovHack. When's that coming up?
So it's a national hackathon, and it's coming up in July 11th to the 13th. It's a 46-hour hackathon, so it goes over a weekend. And that's happening up at Tech Park Central.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first year that they've done a regional cities. And Ballarat is one of the first regional cities. I think there's two regional cities this year around. Basically, it's using government data to do interesting things. So,
such as? Any examples you can give us?
One of the more interesting or, I guess, funny examples is there's toiletmap.gov.au, which is where they map all the toilets, all the public toilets in Australia.
And so for most of us, is a bit of a giggle, but for some people, it's very important.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And so one of the things someone did was they turned that into a mobile phone app. So there's a smartphone app now that you can bring up, and it's got a funny name as well. It's called Busting. but you can basically bring it up, and it will show you the five nearest toilets, and you can press a button, and it will give you the directions on how to walk there or drive there. And so you can just quickly open it and go, I'm busting, I need to go.
Yeah.
Click the button, and it gives you the directions to get there.
Gee, that's pretty cool, particularly for people who have issues where they need to close access to a toilet,
so it's sort
and
of
that
like
sort of stuff.
That sort of thing where you get the government data and you're turning it into something else. So you're doing a mashup or a mobile phone app or a...
So when you talk about the government data, that's just local governments know where their assets are and what their assets are.
Yeah.
Also, and they have a list and it might need a bit of maintenance here there, but they never do anything else with that
data. Exactly, yeah. So a lot of the data is anonymous and just really useful, and the government only has so much resources to do something with that data. So by doing something like a GovHack event, you know, there's prizes involved. There's $70,000 prize fund that's split across quite a few prize groups. And the idea is that you build something interesting from that data, be it, you know, a visualization or a web app or a mobile phone app. And then if it's good enough, then you'll get cold hard cash for your entry. But also you've done something really interesting with government data and made it available to the public.
And you've got 46 hours.
Yeah, it's a 46 hour. And that's at govhack.org is the website for that one. And you can sign up. And we've got, I think we set aside 25 places for the Ballarat one because it's our first year. So we want to start a bit small. But my guess is we can probably fudge those numbers. So if we run out of tickets for the one, if you contact either of us, we can probably get a few more spaces in there if it becomes really popular.